The anointing. Okay, the anointing of God. And we're going to be reading through some scriptures together. So if you like to turn to your Bibles, we're going to just start in 1 Samuel 16:1. Okay, we'll read it together slowly. We'll get into the story and then God will start to unravel this scripture to us. Very, very important scripture, the anointing. So 1 Samuel 16:1. And before I get there, I want to just say this, right? About 2 to 3 years ago, my son Gerard, he finished university. We went to the ceremony and he got his certificates. And that certificate allowed him to get a very good job, right? He went into a job straight away at university. Then he was there for a little while. And then he got another job, which was even better, right? Even better job. I'm saying that, right, because that's the work that he has chosen for himself, right? The anointing, right, is what God has for you also, right? So I want to share with you the anointing that God has for us. So 1 Samuel 16:1, we'll read it together. Try and focus on the text. Try not to get distracted and just put yourself into the text as we read it together. So it says, "Now the Lord said to Samuel," Samuel was the prophet, "how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing that I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, how can I go? If Samuel hears about it, he will kill me. But the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you." So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Do you come peacefully?" And he said, "Peacefully, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before me." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." But Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" And he said, "There remains yet one youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." So he sent and brought him in. Now he was a ruddy and bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said to him, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And then it says this, "And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward." So I'm going to just stop there for a moment. So we understand that before a person can be anointed, they must first be chosen by God. Man does not choose whom God will use. It is God who chooses the person. We may judge by outward appearance, stature, status, education, knowledge, ability. Right? We might see all those things and go, "That person would be really good." But God looks straight into the hearts, where nothing is hidden or buried. He sees every motive, every thought, and every intention of a man. God's choice is not based on what impresses people, but what he sees within. Those whom God chooses, he also anoints and equips for the work he has prepared for them. So God appoints and God anoints. We are beginning to see a clear pattern throughout scriptures. God chooses, he appoints, and then he anoints. We have just read how God chose David to be king over Israel. He was then appointed through Samuel, anointed with oil, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And from that day forward, empowering him to fulfill the role that God has given him. So it's important, church, that God, when God anoints, he's choosing you for something, right? He's choosing you for a task. He's choosing you for a destiny. He's choosing you for something. It's not just nothing. It chooses you for something. So we're going to turn to Luke 4:16. If you get to your Bibles, we're putting together this picture. Now we draw attention to Jesus Christ. David was anointed for the calling as king. Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit to fill a great commission. Luke 4:18 says this. Let's read it together. Amen. Hallelujah. So we see the anointing and then we see what the anointing does, right? When he did it for David, he anointed him to be a king. Okay? So he battled Goliath and all the wars that King David won because God anointed him for that role, right? Now we turn to Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God comes upon Christ, anoints him in the same way. And he says the same things that we just read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So we see the anointing, right, produces an inward work in you. Like my son, when he graduated, he got the certificate. He works as a manager, site manager. He's anointed to do that role. Church, you get it? King David was anointed to be the king. Christ comes on the scene now and he's anointed to do the works of Christ. Here we see how God is working to Jesus. Jesus wasn't anointed with oil like King David. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit. So we see a change from the oil to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The oil used in the Old Testament pointed forward to the greater reality. It symbolized the Holy Spirit. But in Christ, the reality has come. Jesus was not empowered by ceremonial oil. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit himself. Jesus describes the works of the Spirit that we just read. So what I'm saying is God has appointed us. For you here today, church, you've been baptized, you're in a church. God has also anointed you in the same way. He's anointed you for a particular role in your life. Maybe you're doing it, maybe you're not, maybe you're not sure. But he's put something on you to fulfill something outward that he wants you to achieve. So what about us? We read these two scriptures. What about you today? And we turn the scriptures to you here today. We are assured that when we are chosen, church, are you chosen by the Lord?
Yes.
Can you say, God has chosen me?
Is that
your truth, or are you just saying it because I'm telling you to say it? Are you sure? Can I talk you out of it? Can I talk you out of it?
No.
What do you say to me, Pastor? You're lying to me?
Yes.
Oh, I hope so. Praise God. God called and anointed. So you have been called. Right? You have been anointed. Whether you feel it or not, whether you believe it or not. All right? Whether you feel it or not, whether you believe it or not. Right? The same Holy Spirit who sets us apart for the work of God says you have everything. Church, is that scary? That you have everything you need? Do you believe that? You have everything you need right now?
Yes.
Are you just saying it because the Bible tells you? You see, the scripture tells you to believe. Even if you don't see it, you've got to believe. Right? When you believe, that anointing in you starts to work, right? You will start to walk out what God has put in you. John 2:24, it says this. I'll read it to you. If you want to read it, we can read it together. Now, therefore, I'm reading it really slowly. 1 John 2:24, right? Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning, it says. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, this relates to the gospel, repentance towards God, being baptized, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise. Okay, church? This is the promise that he has promised us eternal life. And then verse 26 says this. These things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. Church, are you still with me?
Yes.
Are you not? You haven't left the building, have you? You're still here? Those will come and deceive you. Right? Has anyone deceived you recently? You have to answer the question. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. You understand what God is saying? Samuel will flash by you. Christ will flash by you. Now we come to you today. You're sitting in the church. July 2026. Halfway through the year. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And it says this. And you do not need that anyone teach you. But the same anointing teaches you concerning all things. It is saying, right, that the Spirit of God in everyone here, right, the Spirit of God in you will start to teach you. Remember I tell you that the pastor will teach you some things, right? I'll teach you some things, but the Spirit of God will teach you all things. Remember when I say that to you? When you leave church, he's teaching you. He's training you. He's equipping you. He's saying you're valuable to me. He's saying, I've got a plan, I've got a purpose, I've got a destiny for you to do for me because I have an anointing on you. You understand, church? To connect it. No one has to pray over you. You don't have to go to any funny pastors and sow a seed, right? Of £1,000. You don't need to cross the road, cross the world. You just need to go to your room, get on your knees. Father, thank you. You have anointed me. You see, church? It's very simple. God, you've anointed me. Lord, what have you anointed me for? What have you given me the power and the authority and the dominion and your seal of approval to do in my life? The anointing gives you value because it says, listen, I have something for you. You see? The anointing. And I have something for you for life. Very important that we understand what God is saying to us. The same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie. So it's not a lie. It's true. To everyone here who receives it, it's true. 100% true. But you have to believe it. You have to believe more than what the world tells you. Your family tell you, your college, universities, your whoever around you talking to you is lying to you unless they are affirming the scriptures to you. Very simply put, people, family, friends, if you're in a church and God is talking to you, anything else, anyone else that's saying contrary to the word of God is deceiving you and they are lying to you. They're smiling so you don't know what to make of it. You know when people lie to you, they smile and you're not sure if they're being polite or they're actually trying to deceive you. Either way, they're deceiving you, right? God says, I've called you, I've appointed you, I've anointed you for something, not for nothing. Most of you came, you got baptized, you died in the water, as Eileen would say, she died. That person's dead, I promise you. When you're reminded of your past, you're dead. Right? When you're reminded that you failed a long time ago, you're dead. You can't hear that voice anymore. Because Christ tells you, my sheep hear my voice. Right? So you have to hear the voice of God. Every day, every second of the day, not the voice of a stranger. Not the voice of a hireling. Yeah, there's people out there that are hirelings. They're sheep in wolf's clothing. They're pretending to be somebody. And they're talking to you and they're prophesying over you. And they're saying all this rubbish over you. Jesus says they are a hireling. They're hired help. They're not the source. They're not him. And if you don't understand, ask the Lord. Lord, give me understanding so that I am not deceived. And it's not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you abide in him. So church, look, I'm going to ask you a question. You don't need to answer it. Has God been teaching you stuff, right? And most of you say yes. It may be slow, right? But you're going to tell me, yes, Pastor, when I came to the Lord, I learned this and this and this and that and this. And you're going to learn bits, right? Just as you go to a university, right? And a college, you're learning stuff. God's anointing teaches you. And the beautiful thing with God's anointing, it teaches you from year to year, from day to day. As you grow older with Christ, right? Your wisdom gets better. Your mindset gets better. Your choices get better. Your flesh gets less. Your spirit grows. So there is a constant training and teaching of the Holy Spirit, right? You start off really small. You start off on a boat. You're shifting left. You're going right. Your emotions are all over the place. You have ups. You have lows. You have downs. The world bangs you. Situations bang you. Your family will bang you. Friends will bang you. Get you off that rock onto the sand. And then your life is like this. Where is God? I'm not sure what's going on. And then you go into wasting a lot of your life. And I pray you don't do that. Because I wasted 43 years of my life. 43 years with pointless friends. I don't even know what to call it. Just pointless activities for 43 years. Until the Lord Jesus Christ opened my eyes. And I regret I wasted 43 years of my life. That's a long time, isn't it? A long time. Especially for the young people here. Right? I don't want you to waste 43 years. I promise you. I want you to have the best life now that you can have. So that you can produce fruit, right? God is telling you this. And Paul echoes the same thing, right, in 2 Corinthians. I'm going to read it. For the Son of God, listen, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him is yes and amen. For all the promises of God in him are yes and amen. Church. Amen. Is that right, church?
Yes.
Even when you don't see it and when you don't feel it and things go around you and things crumble, it's still yes and it's amen. Your job is not to get pulled into the world. That's your only job in your life as a Christian. Don't get pulled into the world. Don't be around unbelievers. And listen, I had a beautiful time with my family. Half of them are unbelievers, right? Right? But I know what I know. You can have your family, you can have your friends. You don't need to be, I can't talk to them, I can't be around. It's not that. Right? You have to be true to what God's given you, people. The anointing in you and on you. Listen, you'll have the most exciting life that you ever can have. If you just stick to what God is telling you. I promise you. If you just stick to what God is telling you, you'll have a life which is full of miracles, full of wonders, full of signs, and God will be speaking to you, and God will keep you away from the pit holes of life, right? You know, having a wrong relationship with the wrong boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever it is, right? Deadly ground. For young people, deadly ground. Pick the person that God's anointed, right? God, give me a husband. Give me a wife. I don't want to be wasting time. Your body's a temple. You'd already be making mistakes, right? You want to learn. You want this anointing on you to do the work of God. Yes and amen to the glory of God for us. He who establishes us with you is Christ and has anointed us in God. Again. Okay? Anointed. That means God has looked around the world, right? Seen billions of people and he's chosen. You understand? You think it's easy to be a Christian. It is not. If you're a true Christian, you will know how many sacrifices you make. Right? You know them. You know it's going to cost you. God honors that. Because the same people that rejected God, right? They don't want to know. But for some reason, God has put something in your heart. To open your heart. To bring it to a church. To sit here and understand the word of God. The anointing in you. Alright? So think about it. You hold something very precious. If you could see it. I remember praying for this woman and she was very distraught, right? And I remember I was praying on this woman, and you know what? God showed me, and I've said it before, he showed me these diamonds appeared over her head, right? My eyes are open. I'm praying for this woman, and I see these diamonds and these rubies over this woman's head, and I said, "Sister, you are so loved. You are so precious." And I was trying to touch this thing, but it kept going through. Right? So God is working in the spiritual realm, right? You are so precious to Jesus, right? You're so loved by him. Right? So God is saying you are precious to him. When you're called by God, God has called you. So the anointing, and it goes on to say, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. So let me read it again because I was interjecting, right? So 2 Corinthians 1:19. Let me read it straight through. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvius, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes. And in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us in God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Isn't that beautiful, right? Amen. You understand, church? When we keep saying, listen, church, be still, get God's presence, and God's presence comes into you, or you feel his presence and you feel his peace. That's what we're saying. Because you're sealed, you're chosen, you're called, you're someone, you're not no one else, you're not a nobody, you're not a number in the world. The world treats you like nobody. But God says, listen, I love you. I've chosen you, I've called you, I've appointed you. Look at King David for king. Look at Jesus Christ. Now, what about you today? What about you today? Use your anointing, church. I'm going to tell everyone here, use your anointing. Now the message comes back to us. The scriptures affirm that the same Holy Spirit who anointed Jesus now dwells in every believer. Right? That's you today sitting here. When we repented, believed the gospel, were baptized into Christ, born again of the Spirit, and sealed with the Holy Spirit, we receive his abiding presence, right? Everyone here, right, whether you know or not, you can just close your eyes and God's presence will come in you. Right? And then you go, as the sister was saying, you just go, you put your hand on someone, you pray for them, and let God's presence go to that person. Person get healed, they can get delivered, whatever God wants to do. You carry the blessing of God. More than the world. More than the world, but unless you know who you are. Unless you believe it, unless you carry it, unless you use it. Right? That's why Jesus demonstrated the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me. And then he tells you the works he does. Right? So some of you here today, right, God wants to use in the same way. So with this in mind, each of us needs to ask a very important question, right? And I'm not going to get you to say, but I want to read this text out. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to dot, 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 right? So if you're reading it to yourself, what has he anointed you for? What's he called you for? What's your good works that no one else in this church can do but you? What's the special calling you have in you? Out of 8 billion people on the planet, he's chosen you because you're a key to a door that no one else can open. I can't open it, but you. The way you're made, the way you speak, the way you think is a key to a door. Church, you get it? That's why you're very special. I can't open the door, you can open. You're like a key to a door. Can you open that? Oh, I haven't got the key. You'll go, yeah, you go. I go, wow, that's awesome. It's like this for everyone here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me too. You know, how would you finish? How would you personally finish that sentence? I'll give you a moment just to think about it, right? How would you finish that sentence? Some of the work will be the same as Christ. You know, when I started reading the Bible, you know, 13 years ago, I read through the Old Testament and to the New Testament. I've told some of you this before. I got to Isaiah 61, right? And I started reading this text. And something in my spirit became alive. I thought, what's that? And then I read it again in Luke 4, 18 to 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. I know my mandate. I know my anointing. I know my calling. That's what I do. That's all I do. I get better at it and better at it and better at it, right? And for some of you, it'll be the same. For some of you here, it will be the same, because if Christ is in you through the Holy Spirit, what does the Holy Spirit want to do in you, church? Think about it. If the Spirit of God is in you, what does he want to do in you? He's going to be doing very similar things to Christ, isn't he? So you don't have to guess. He's going to be doing similar things to Christ because the Spirit in you is the nature of Christ. It's the personality of Jesus Christ. So when you start to connect the dots, you can prophesy, you can pray, you can do this, you can, whatever Christ did for me, right, we can do. If you want it. If you want it. Right? Some of you may think, oh, I can't do that. And I said, you can't do anything. I can't do anything. But Christ in you can transform. He can change. He will shape you to the woman or the man you're supposed to be. Right? He will help you, because that's his role. Because he is the helper, isn't he? He's not the tormentor, is he, church? The tormentor is nothing to do with us. He is the blessing of God. So we've got to think deeply about these things, right? I don't mean just to read the text and it leaves you. I want you to start thinking, Lord, you know what? The anointing. And I tell people this all the time. When they come to Christ, I tell them, don't let anyone come around you and steal it from you. Because immediately, as soon as you come to Christ, you've got a zeal for Jesus. All these people start coming out in the woodwork. They start coming here and left and right. I've had it for 13 years. They all come around you. And because you really want to help people, you do, and we do, right? You start helping this person and that person and this person and this person and this person. And before you know it, you're running out. You're burnt out. So you've got to protect. Lord, what do you want me to do? How will you direct me, Spirit of God? And I promise you, if you do this, right, your anointing will not only stay with you, it will increase. And it will increase. And it will increase. You'd have more zeal. You'd have more fire. You'd have more dreams. You'd have more visions. You'll see more miracles. And then your faith starts to get more. You'll see the unseen. You'll see outrageous things in the Spirit of God. I've seen outrageous things that I won't share here because I'm not able to share. But you will see outrageous things. You will see shocking things, and you will see beautiful things. And then this Bible will be real to you. I'd love to just give you a USB and stick it into you, right? And download and give you 13 years of revelation and ministry and angels and demons and curses and things that shouldn't be. I'd love to give it to you, but I can't, because it's your journey to enter into. And listen, I might have a zeal for Jesus, right? And you think, oh, the pastor really loves Jesus. But what if my zeal before God is only 80%? What if you've got 85 and you've got 90 or you've got 100? What if you've got more zeal? You understand what I'm saying to you? So don't go by what I'm telling you. Go for more. Reach for more. Do for more. Because we only have this one life to live, and then it's all over. And then you stand before the Jesus Christ. And what will you say to him? What will you say to the Lord for your life? What will you say? So I'm trying to provoke some of you. Right? I'm trying to say, listen, let's get closer to the Lord. Let the anointing come in you. Let it live out of you. Because you're going to see so many wonderful, amazing things. And some of you are going to write some awesome books. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
Yeah? Awesome books? Most of you can be authors right now. You've probably got enough revelation in you to write a book. Right? Make a movie. Do a documentary. Many, many wonderful things, right? But the anointing has to come in you. The anointing has to come out of you. And then you will see what you are created for. And then when you find out what you are created for, you will spend the rest of your life unraveling it. And it's endless. It's endless layers. Endless revelation. Endless songs of worship. Maybe some of you are going to be writing songs. Look, when I was in the prison, and you had like 100 men there, right? And I started talking to them. I said, men, listen, you know, you guys, some of you shouldn't be here. You're not supposed to be here, mate. You're not supposed to be here. You're supposed to be home. There's an empty chair. There's an empty bed. There's family that miss you. You're not supposed to be here. And I was quite serious with them, right? You shouldn't be here. You're not stupid. Get rid of the foolish people around you. Get out of here and work for God. Some of you, musicians, pastors, scientists, doctors, business people. That's what I saw. That's what I saw with all these beautiful men in the prison. No role models, no father figures. And so Satan gets a hold of them, torments them, gets them in a gang, get them knife, crime, drugs, whatever it may be. You understand, church? This is real. The kingdom of God is real. The choices you make today, right, are real. It will affect your life. It will affect the people around you and all the people that you're going to come in contact with. The anointing of God, the Spirit of God, very, very important. So God asks you the same thing. I'm going to just close, get excited and start shouting at everybody. Maybe your mind goes blank, right? Maybe you're not sure. Maybe you don't know. So if that's you today, don't be discouraged. We're going to pray in a few moments. All right? The anointing of God is not given for status or recognition. Right, it's not about God saying, oh, you're awesome. It's about God. Like my son went to university. It's a certificate which gives you the authority to do something in your life that you couldn't do. It's not, you can't get it anywhere in the world. At the top universities, you're not going to get this certificate. You're not going to get this sealing of God. Right? Because it's God ordained. It's totally different. The anointing of God is not given for status or recognition. It is God's Holy Spirit working through His chosen people for you today, Sunday afternoon, to accomplish His extraordinary purposes. Isn't that beautiful? Lives touched and changed and transformed. It is His power enabling you to fulfill the mission He has entrusted you. You have a mission here, church. It's not the work, it's not the things you do, right? There is a mission, a work for God, very special work that God has given you for, made you for, created you for. He'll teach you all about it. He'll give you the gifts to use it and to bear fruits for Jesus Christ. God has not called any of his children to live without purpose. If your Christianity gives you no purpose, that's not it. Right? If you have a Christianity that has no purpose, that is not it. He has chosen you, saved you, filled you with his Spirit, equipped you for good works that he has prepared before you, the foundations of the world, for you to walk in. You want to have a Christianity, and I spoke to another brother, where you are walking on water, right? Isn't that awesome? How would you like to walk on water? Church? Right? Walk on, let your Christianity let you walk on water. It just means doing the impossible. It means the things, some of you have in you, things you never thought you could do. You have things in you, things in you, deep inside you, I promise you, that haven't come out of you yet. I promise you, that was me 13 years ago. If you saw me 13 years ago, I'm here today. I can tell you, I can testify to 13 years that God's put things in me which I was shocked that come out of me for his glory. Beautiful things. So let me just end now by just doing a prayer for everyone here today, right? And I'm praying today for the anointing of God to come upon you. Not for the first time, or maybe for some of you, but to remind you that God has called you for a greater purpose than the one you currently have. And so Father, just receive this morning, right? Either put your palms on your knees, whatever you want to do. Just take a deep breath. Just receive, right? So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Holy and Anointed One, we worship, we bless you, we glorify you, we exalt you, we praise you this morning, Lord. We thank you so much for the anointing that breaks the yoke. So I pray for the saints this morning that they would receive the anointing to break a yoke, Lord, to open doors. To transform lives, Lord, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons, Lord. That the anointing, whatever you have put into them in these last days, I pray right now that you would give them a vision. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, you would just touch them on their head gently, Lord. Just that gentleness of the Holy Spirit to let you know that he has chosen you, to let you know that he has called you, to let you know that he has appointed you. That the Lord may remove every lie you've heard from the day you were born. I don't care who said it, from the day you were born right up until this very second. Any lie that you have believed, any lie that's spoken over you, any false prophecy right now, from a lying tongue or a lying spirit, we break that in the name of Jesus Christ. We enforce the cross of Jesus Christ. We break right now every lie that they've heard right now. And Holy Spirit, will you, Holy One, according to their heart here this morning, will your anointing be on them and with them just right now in a powerful, a new way that they are called, that they may believe, but that they may receive this morning, Lord Jesus Christ, that their mind may be still, that they may take a deep breath, that they may have an encounter with Jesus Christ, just like an encounter that Saul had. And from that very second, his life was never, ever the same again. I pray, Lord, right now, Holy Spirit, right now, Lord Jesus Christ, take the people, take them deeper into the presence of God. Show them, Lord, the days ahead, the roads ahead. Holy Spirit, the same anointing that he says is yes and amen to the glory of God the Father. You haven't earned it. The cross earned it, but Christ is handing it to you right now. If you would just receive it right now. And Lord, we thank you as they receive that it is sealed from this day forward. That they will be encouraged, they'll be inspired. For the days ahead, may they see the unseen. May they see the holy ones of God. May their prayer life be turbocharged. May any veil over the eyes be broken, right, removed right now, just like with Paul. May scales come off their eyes. May they have a new season of seeing the spiritual realm that is around us. May you increase their discernment. May you increase their understanding. May you increase their wisdom. May you increase their compassion. May you increase their zeal for the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. May they have a fervency, Lord. May their tires be pumped up. May their tanks be full. May they drink of the one Holy Spirit constantly, Lord. May they be people of presence. May they carry the presence. May they go into hospitals, Lord, and asylums and prisons. And may the anointing that they carry break the yoke. May they be around young people, Lord God, where the presence is so strong, Lord, that repentance is given, Holy One. May there be a real move of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Not because they've earned it, but because they're asking you today, Lord. We pray that they may see the amazing things that you have in store for them, because you can do it and because you know at the end from the beginning. And so, Father, I just pray for healing right now through the bodies right now of every brother and sister here right now. May they receive the healing from their heads, maybe physical, maybe it's emotional, maybe it's a trauma, maybe it's an abandonment issue, maybe it's a rejection issue, maybe it's an unbelief issue. May you break it, may you wash it, may you wipe it, Lord God, just like bugs on a windscreen, may the windscreen wipers come. May they see clearly in these last days, oh God. May they have a life consumed with your presence in accordance with the first commandment, to love the Lord our God with our heart and our mind and our soul and our strength every day, every second of the day. Lord, we pray that, and I pray that over the brothers and sisters. Lord, may I extend that to the children in that room, oh God. May you watch over and protect the children and the families and the loved ones. May you help them and guide them, watch over and protect them. Wherever they may be around the world, may your angels and your hedge of protection be around the church and the church family. Because there is no distance for the Lord Jesus Christ. The glory of the Lord fills the earth. And I pray, Lord God, that they would know their authority, that the anointing, it was not cheap. It cost Jesus Christ his whole life. On that cross, it wasn't a cheap anointing, but he suffered all things for us because he loves us, that his good fruit, that the work of the cross may be in us. And I pray this, Lord, may you bless everyone here with a long, healthy life. And may they know, Lord, that the curse doesn't follow them. Torment does not follow them. Disappointment does not follow them. But your goodness and your mercy shall follow them all the days of their long life when they dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise Jesus. So bless you, church. We're going to go now into some worship this morning. Listen, I'm going to send all the notes.